Welcome in on this Monday morning, May the 10th, 2013. Faith and Family is the program. Two of the most foundational pillars in society and culture, especially when we try to tie the two together, family life and faith. I'm your temporary host, Pastor Rod Zwanisser, proud and pleased to announce that July 1, you'll have a brand new host. We'll be introducing him in the next couple of weeks. And also, 2 weeks from this day, we flip the switch on our new studios at the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And to keep up our Wi-Fi radio giveaway program, we're giving away one a month of these Grace Wi-Fi radios for the next year. We gave out one last month in honor of somebody's mom, and we had a great contest. This month we focus on dads, and so all the details of how you can enter your dad in the contest are on our Facebook page or on our website page, kfuo.org. Speaking of fathers, that's the topic for this week leading up to Father's Day. All this week, we will be talking and focusing in on Christian families and fathers. We start off with just an excellent guest, Dr. Meg Meeker. She's a pediatrician in one of my favorite parts of the world, having left just Michigan to come here to St. Louis. My wife and I would summer up in Dr. Meeker's part of the world at Sutton's Bay, right above Traverse City. And Dr. Meeker has a practice up that way. She's authored more than 5 books. And the one we're going to focus on today is Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, 10 Secrets Every Father Should Know. Welcome to Faith and Family, Dr. Meeker.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
How's the weather in Traverse City this summer so far?
You know, it's been very nice, a little bit on the cool side, but summer's coming. And as you know, if you've endured winters up here, summer is our payoff for having endured the winters. So we're anxiously waiting for warmer weather, but it's getting pretty nice so far.
Yeah, we would avoid Traverse in the winter. We'd just go up there in the spring and summer and fall. And what a gorgeous place. If you've never been to northern Michigan, make it a trip. You will absolutely adore it. There's so much to do up there, great wineries, food, recreation, Interlaken and the great music over there. There's just so much to do. So if you think I'm excited about northern Michigan, yes, we just adore it and love it. So Dr. Meeker, strong fathers, strong daughters, you're talking about an important connection between a dad and the daughter. Tell us about a sentence that you heard your dad speak that changed your life.
Oh, well, I am glad you brought that up. My sweet dad passed away 2 years ago, and every Father's Day is very, very, very special to me. Many years ago, when I was 16 years old, I decided I wanted to go to medical school, and that was that. And my father was a physician, but he never, encouraged me or pushed me or said anything. He just let me tromp around the hospital with him if I had the chance. And so I decided 16, and that was my goal. And I went through college, and end of my college year, I applied to a bunch of medical schools and didn't get in. And I just thought my life was over. I was 21, and I'd worked at this goal for 5 years, and I thought, well, what am I going to do now? So I went outside to jog just to sort of clear my mind, and I walked back in the house, and I heard my dad on the phone in his study talking to somebody, and I heard my name. And I thought, well, that's kind of peculiar, and because he, wasn't a real outgoing guy, kind of a quiet introvert. And I stopped by his door to just eavesdrop a little bit, and I heard him say to the person on the other phone, the other end of the line, yes, my daughter Meg will be going to medical school in the next year or two. And I was stunned, and I thought, well, what does my dad know that I don't know? I mean, I just got all these rejections, and, I thought, I'm not going to be going to medical school. But what I remember hearing when my dad said that was, if my dad believes that this is going to happen and I can do this, I'm unstoppable. It will happen. And I can't tell you the sense of confidence and encouragement and hope that sentence gave me, because my dad in my eyes had such huge authority. You know, I think that dads don't understand how much authority their words have in their daughters' lives. And sure enough, the next year went by, and I worked, and I reapplied to medical school, and I got in, and, you know, and his prophecy came true, if you will. And even as I was an adult and writing books, I could still hear that tone in my father's voice, that she can do this, you can do this. And when a daughter hears that, you really feel that you're unstoppable. And interestingly enough, my dad doesn't even remember saying that or having that phone conversation. But that was a moment in time that changed my life, and he wasn't even aware of it. And that's really the power of a dad's words in a daughter's life.
And those words, it for sure sounds like you replayed, probably even in times where you would start, things would get tough in med school or so forth, and you'd probably go back and recycle those words and listen to him say, "Hey, Meg, you can do this."
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
And even as an adult writing books, you know, and people think, well, you know, if you're out there writing books, you must have a lot of self-confidence and you believe in yourself. Well, that's not true. You know, every time, no matter how many degrees you have or how much you've done or what, you know, when you go to do a new project, you always have the sense that, can I really do this? I mean, maybe this is dumb after all. Maybe I just don't know what I'm doing. But to hear my dad's words resonate in my mind, I pulled on those words over and over and over, even as an adult in my 50s.
Excellent. Now, we invite our listeners to call in and give your questions or your comments on fathers and daughters or parenting for Dr. Meeker. You can do that in the St. Louis area at this number, 314-505-7850, or worldwide, 1-800-730-2727, or you may email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. You know, Dr. Meeker, I really think that one of the lies that's perpetrated in our society is that words can never hurt us. You know, I did a sermon recently where I started with that I had an older brother. He was only 13 months older, and of course, we fought like crazy, tooth and nails, when we were growing up together. One of us would proverbial say to the other one as we're calling each other names, you know, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Words have the power to really encourage us and to lift us up, or they can destroy us. I know my first call as a pastor, I had a dad come and talk to me about family issues, and he was really having issues with his two children. They didn't seem to really like him at all. That's the way he put it. They would always go to mom, and he was envious of that, and he was crushed by that. And when I started talking to him about, when I asked him, "Well, how did your dad treat you?" And he said, "My dad would always say this to you, 'You're not going to amount to anything.'" And he said, continually through school and everything, he would take one event upon another one and emphasize that, "You're never going to amount to anything." Mm-hmm. And I said, "You know what's interesting? I hear you saying that to your kids now." And he stopped cold in his tracks, and he realized that the thing he hated worst in the world about his dad, he was repeating.
Yeah.
And we had him, you know, intentionally work on that. You know, because we can all do that, can't we? When we get frustrated, you might say something, but, you know, especially as Christians, we want to be really quick to say, "Gosh, that's terrible. It came out of my lips. I really don't mean that. You know, I take that back, and I want to reinforce this other thing." And that's what your book's kind of about, is always being cognizant of the power that our words have.
Yes. Yeah. You know, words change the way we feel, and they change who we become and who we feel that we are. And in the eyes of a child, no matter how old that child is, even if it's an adult child, we are constantly reading our parents, particularly our dads, for clues as to what they think about us and how they feel about us, because that's how we really develop our own self-image. If I believe my dad thinks I'm dumb, then I'm a dumb person. If I believe my dad thinks I'm lovely and beautiful and smart, then that's who I become. And that happens. So kids are constantly reading us for clues. And so many times our words are going to shape who they perceive themselves to be. It can be through our tone. It can be through the actual word. It can be through our body language. You know, I shudder when I hear parents say, I love my kids, but I don't like them. Because what that tells me is they're communicating to their kids that they really aren't a very likable person, that they're only loving them because they have to. And I think that our kids need to know, you know, yes, we're going through a hard time, and yes, we're struggling, and yes, you're arguing, but in my eyes, you are still an incredible, amazing person. And sometimes we have to stop and say that to our children, because we feel we may be communicating positive things to our kids. That's not necessarily what kids are picking up, because as you said, we tend to repeat what we know, not what we want to do. And if we were talked down to by our fathers or mothers, that's what we do again, whether we want to or not. So we need to always be very conscious of what we're saying and how we're saying it to our kids, because it really shapes their identity.
And for so much of the formative time of our lives, as you as a pediatrician know, we our image is developed by what our parents and our immediate family would say to us or not say to us.
Yeah.
And I've said some bad words here. I said that the email contact is kfuo@kfuo.org, and you can reach us by that, but I get confused. I have so many radio programs I'm doing here, most of them temporary, that we have a special email for this program, Faith and Family. It's real difficult. family@kfuo.org. We'd like to hear from you, comments or questions for our guest, Dr. Meg Meeker. Dr. Meeker, you wrote something that really got my attention. I'd like to ask you to unload this for us. You wrote that a father can and should give guidance that a daughter cannot get from her mother.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I think that, as I said, in every daughter's eyes, a dad has an authority with a capital A. And so that when dad speaks and dad loves and dad hugs, it's different from when her mother does. A daughter perceives, and many sons too, that a father's love is negotiable, but a mother's love isn't. You know, mom has to love them. Mom has to stick around. Mom has to be available and do things, but not necessarily so with a dad. So, and that's from a child's perspective. It may not be real, but that's how kids feel. So their approach to their dad and what they read from their dad holds different weight than what it does from their mothers. And I think it's important for dads to realize that they have an enormous influence in helping their kids make certain decisions, particularly their daughters. And I think of, you know, particularly during the teen years, it's very important for dads to give guidance, particularly around how girls dress and when girls date and who they date. And it's daughters receive it very differently than when the mom gives the guidance. And one of the things that I found is moms in general tend to be very lax. They tend to want girls to dress like their friends, to, you know, to be popular with boys or popular with their friends. And dads aren't always, don't always agree with that. Dads are much more cautious than, wait a minute, I don't want you going to school looking like that, and I don't want you dating this guy. And those are times I tell moms, you know, you really need to let dad step up and give the strong guidance here, because a lot of times dads are more keen and wiser about certain areas than moms are when it comes to their daughters. And again, as I said, it carries a different weight when dad does it than when mom does it. So that's where I encourage dads to really sort of step up to the plate, particularly during those teen years, and give a lot of strong encouragement and guidance to their daughters.
You know, as a dad that has a wonderful daughter, and she loves to listen to this program, so she is a wonderful daughter. I just love the heck out of her. She's did so much with her life and so much more that God's going to do through her that I can remember real clearly a time of the year that she was starting to really develop her shape. And mm-hmm. this young man was trying to put groceries into our car, and his eyes were on anywhere they only focused it on one place, and even the grocers were suffering because of it. And, you know, Mom wasn't that. She was kind of excited that this young man who is good looking was interested, and I am furious. And I grabbed the young man and I said, you know, you need to get your mind back where it should be. And my daughter was like, wow, Dad did that. And she knew that I meant it. And I think it's because a lot of us dads, we've been there as young men. Not that I was, I understand what a young man, where he's going through, but when it's your own flesh and blood, mm-hmm. and you don't want your daughter to develop unhealthy thoughts about herself and her sexuality. And I appreciate so much what you were saying there, Doctor, about I was real sensitive to when my daughter should start wearing makeup, jewelry, mm-hmm. and all those things. And so I think dads are more attuned to that with their daughters, and they should be. Now I've got to ask the question, what about the daughters, though, whose dad is not in the picture at all, Dr. Mm-hmm. Meeker, or not that much?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, because there are a lot of single mothers out there working very hard to do a good job raising daughters, and daughters can do very well, but I think they need some special help. The single mothers need a lot of special help, and that's where I think we as a church body can come along and sort of say, you know, if you're a dad and you have a healthy marriage and family life, you know, invite that daughter over to dinner periodically. Because it's important for daughters to see good men in action. They need to see how Amen. Good men treat women, how they talk to you, how mm-hmm. they respond to you, how they listen to you. Because girls need that image. So many times single moms feel, you know, I can do it all. I have to be mom and dad. And I always say to single moms, you can't. So just try to be the best mom you can be. But you need to understand that your daughter needs male influence. So look around and find a pastor, a youth pastor, a grandfather, an uncle, somebody who you can expose your daughter to on a fairly regular basis so she can understand, so she can watch how that man talks to you, the mom, and she can see how he interacts with her, the daughter, because it is very important. Women can't grow up and develop a healthy sense of self and a healthy sense of their sexuality by being just around women. They need to be around good men, too.
I love your answer, Doctor. And, you know, it's taking me back that I'm a second career pastor. And before I even was thinking of going into the ministry, the congregation I was at in Dallas, the pastor came to me and said, Rod, I'd like you very much to prayerfully consider taking a Sunday school class, because there's a lot of young men, and there are some young women too, that have split homes. They need to see what a biblical man like yourself, a mature one, what he thinks. And you know, he knew that I was passionately in love with Jesus, and so I did it. And people would come and talk to me, Meg, mm-hmm. and ask yep. me questions, intimate yep. questions that I knew they should be asking their dad, but Dad wasn't in the picture.
Dad's not around. Exactly.
Yeah. I loved your answer. And, you know, so a lot of you men out there, you need to pray to God that you need to step up to the plate. You know, think of where what God has prepared you for and gifted you with. And share that with these young people, especially these young women, who really need to see what a godly man is all about.
Yes, and they don't need to spend every day with you. I know a lot of men feel kind of overwhelmed. But just, you know, if you're taking your kids to a movie, invite another girl to go. If you're going to go, you know, have a picnic, or you're going to go, you know, I even had a friend whose husband died, and she had two daughters. And another friend of mine who's a youth pastor called her up and said, hey, you know, would your daughters like to come on vacation with us? My wife and I are taking our three kids, and we'd love to bring your daughters. And my friend was thrilled, because A, she needed the break as a new widow and being a single mom, but B, she also understood how desperately these girls needed to be around a kind man who loves Christ. And those are the kinds of things, very simple acts. So, you know, you don't need to parent the kids, but you need to just fold them into your family periodically. It will change a girl's life. And if every man just took one daughter or even a boy out there who doesn't have a dad, it would change our country. I mean, it really would change our country if men would begin to understand the power that they have in young people's lives.
I so much appreciate what you were emphasizing there, too, is it doesn't have to be a huge amount of time, but you just have to be yourself,
right.
A godly man, and let these young people see that. And, you know, I was thinking, too, of the proverbial times that I really wasn't crazy about when my daughter would want to have a lot of her friends over for a sleepover. And, you know, I didn't grow up with any sisters. I wish I had some. So it was really unusual for me. And I remember the one rule I was really adamant about with my daughter is that don't ever let your mom or I catch you watching MTV. That we would spend time with her watching it and tell her why we didn't want her to be influenced by that. And she had a sleepover, and I got a drink of water or something and saw that they were watching it. And they instantly went in, unplugged the TV, took the cable box away. And I remember there was about seven of the girls staying over that night, and they were all yelling, "How weird is your dad for doing that?" And my daughter said, "He promised me that he would do that."
Yeah.
And she wasn't that upset. She just said, "He promised me what would happen." And it was almost like I could see in her eyes a little respect that I was going to do what I said because I had told her specifically why I would do it. I wanted to protect her. And then my daughter told me later on that she would tell her girlfriends that were arguing that she was defending me, that, you know, this really wasn't that good. We really shouldn't have been watching and talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so... you know, how these other people, these other girls even saw that actions, and I never even thought about it until my daughter mentioned it years later, that I might have had some influence on some of them at a later point.
Oh, I will guarantee you they'll never forget that episode, and at first they're going to think you're crazy and this kind of thing, but I will tell you, when those girls go home and over the next couple of years and their parents are fine with them watching MTV, part of them is going to go, well, why are my parents okay with this? What's wrong? What am I, you know, should they be stepping up and saying something? Why did my friend's dad act like that? Because clearly he was protecting her, and why aren't my parents protecting me? And that's a very, very powerful tool, and I think that parents are so afraid to be protective, particularly dads. But what dads don't realize is that even though a daughter, and it's great your daughter didn't throw a fit at the time, but even if a daughter does, is that underneath that girl feels so loved. You know, I remember my dad, a fellow I was dating, and I was older, I was probably 20 years old and home from college for the summer, and this gentleman took me on a date, and my dad wanted me home by midnight, and my dad was the kind of dad, he'd wait up until I was home because he said, "I can't sleep until you're home." So he'd be up, and the lights would be on. Well, we were late, and it was probably 12:45, and I thought, well, it's no big deal. I'm 20 years old. I'm off at college. And my dad was there, and he greeted that guy at the door, and he said, "You're never allowed to come around here again." And I was mortified. I mean, mortified. I'm an adult. What are you doing? But I'll tell you, my dad was dead right. The guy was a creep. I couldn't see it at the time, but my dad could see something.
He was looking out for your best interest.
Yes, and he could read something in this guy that his motives weren't good, and he was kind of a creep, and I was enamored. I thought the guy was great. I thought I was a grown-up. I could make decisions. And it wasn't until maybe 6 months, a year later, that I realized my dad was dead on. And I was so grateful that my dad didn't care, and that my dad didn't care about my feelings. He cared about my safety.
Meg, I got to interrupt you here and do my host thing. We're going to have to take a quick break, and then let's pick up that story because I think it's important on the other side. So join us and Dr. Meg Meeker on the other side. You're listening to Faith and Family. Please stick with us on Worldwide KFUO. We'll be right back.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Shayla Taylor and her husband Jerome were on the second floor of the Moore Medical Center in Oklahoma having their second baby. She wasn't worried about the storm outside until the nurses rushed into her room. Shayla pulled out her phone and the weather app said the tornado was headed right for them. Jerome and son headed for cover while they moved Shayla into a surgical suite with no windows. The nurses crouched down by her bed and Shayla turned her head and closed her eyes. When she opened them, she saw Interstate 35 in the local theater because the wall was gone, but all were safe. An ambulance took them to an undamaged hospital where Braden Emmanuel was born. Emmanuel means God is with us. She picked the name months ago and now knows why.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Monday, June 10th, 2013. Today's day sponsor is Rick Rowe. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to KFUO to the glory of God. Once again, we say thank you to Rick Rowe of Trenton, Illinois, today's worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform. So stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Southern Baptist pastors from around the nation are meeting in Houston in advance of their denomination's annual conference starting Tuesday. The Southern Baptist Convention, with nearly 16 million members, remains the nation's largest Protestant denomination, but membership declined slightly last year and baptisms fell 5.5%. At the pastors' conference Sunday evening, Pastor Greg Mott of Houston's First Baptist Church prayed,
"Lord, our country's in trouble. Our churches are in trouble. Our pastors are in trouble."
Southern Baptists are expected to pass a resolution urging their congregations to end sponsorship of Boy Scout troops now that gay youths will be able to join. Church leaders also are worried about growing acceptance of gay marriage and government requiring religious institutions to provide contraceptive coverage. Mott told his fellow pastors,
"Your church needs more Jesus. My church needs more Jesus. My heart needs more Jesus. My family needs more Jesus."
I'm Steve Coleman.
Thanks for hanging in there with us on Faith and Family. I'm your temporary host, Rod Zwanitzer. Just having a great time talking with just an excellent book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, 10 Secrets Every Father Should Know, written by Dr. Meg Meeker. And also some other great resources to go along with this. There's a small group DVD study with a participant's guide. And the thing that I really liked, I've gotten into this, is the 30-day challenge. Daily motivation, you need to become your daughter's hero. Dave Ramsey, who I really have a lot of admiration for, he wrote, "This is the book I wish someone had given me the day my first daughter was born." And we're going to link to these resources on our website when we archive this show and put it up, so you don't have to fumble around for them. But you can probably just Google or do a search on the internet for Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and you'll see all this great information. So well done, Meg, too. I congratulate you on that. It's just really excellent stuff. I love this 30-day challenge. I'm going to be giving these out to some guys that I know that could really like this stuff, too.
Thank you.
Now, I wanted to ask you, we stopped you right in the middle of a good story you were telling us. So do you want to pick it up there, or should we move on?
Whatever. I think I'm happy to move on. I feel like we got a lot of good stuff to cover, if you like.
Okay. I'd like to just kind of run through some of the more salient 10 secrets that every father should know. And I'd like to start with one so we just don't miss it. I think we pastors know that a dad's, a father's faith is very influential to his kids. And especially his daughter. Can you talk to us about that secret?
Sure. You know, I think that one of the things that I wanted to do in the book is, from a physician standpoint, you know, a pediatrician standpoint, is really just talk about the data that exists out there for how good God is for kids. You know, so many times we feel like, well, this is just something I need to teach my kids my faith as a father because it's an important thing to do and God expects it of me. But it's very important to understand that when the research shows that kids who have a strong faith fare so much better in life. They have less depression, they have less school problems, they have less anxiety, they tend to go on to college, they tend to get not involved in drugs and sex and alcohol, so it's a huge, huge issue. And I think that as Christian parents, a lot of times we're very shy and we say, well, you know, I kind of want my kids to find their own way and I want my my kids to sort of figure things out on their own, but that really, it's very, very important that we teach them about our faith, particularly dads. You know, dads, as I said, they have an authority in their daughter's eyes that moms don't have. Moms bring a lot of other things to the relationship, so it doesn't mean that dads are better or worse than moms. It's just very different. But it's important for dad to teach his daughters about God and Christ because God is male. God is male attributes. Christ was male. Of course, God is spirit, but as well, so I don't want to, you know, sort of say he's, you know, I don't want to box him in, but it's very important for dads to teach about Christ because dad, in a way, sort of shows his daughter how Christ would respond and how Christ would think and what Christ would say because he is male. And in a way, you sort of set a template for how your daughter is going to relate to God as in his maleness because you are male. And so the dangerous thing can be for any dad out there who has, if he has a bad relationship with his daughter, is that in as much as he allows his daughter to relate to God because he's male, if a daughter doesn't trust her dad or she feels her dad hurts her or her dad has abandoned her, she is going to perceive God to be very much like that as well. So that's a huge amount of, a lot on a dad's shoulders as far as teaching his daughter about God, because if you have a good relationship with your daughter, she's going to accept Christ a lot more easily than if you have a bad relationship with her. If she didn't trust you, she's not going to trust him. So it's a huge responsibility a dad has as far as the faith development in his daughter.
So these young ladies are really watching intensely what dad believes, what he really prizes, what he really cherishes. Yeah. And so if he's strong in the faith, odds are pretty good that she's going to follow in that wake.
Absolutely, and I know that because, again, remember we said daughters are watching their dads constantly for cues about what he thinks about her, what he believes about her, but not just about her, but about life in general. And if she admires her dad, And she sees that her dad is sold out for Christ and very much in love with him. She's going to want to know that God. She's going to want to know that Christ. She's going to want to know, why does my dad think that? Why does he love him? Why does my dad take me on, to a different country every year for 2 weeks to serve the poor? What is it about this Christ that has got my dad, that's got hold of my dad? And that is so... she's so curious about that, and if she loves her dad, it will just come so naturally that she'll want to know about Christ. And then when the day comes when she's old enough to really accept him as her own God, she will be much more likely to do that if she has a good relationship with her dad and he has a good relationship with Christ. Very, very, it's the best way you can safeguard your daughter's faith is for you, the dad, to have a vibrant faith of your own.
Now, you have one of these secrets about the necessary virtues of being a strong father and how we fathers can develop those. And I like how you say that at any state in your fathering, because, my theory, and I think you go along with this, once a father, always a father. No matter how old your kids are, you're a father to them.
Yes.
So what are the essential virtues of being a good father, a strong father?
I think humility is very important, and I wrote a whole chapter on teaching your daughter humility. You know, many people think of humility as sort of being a weak-kneed doormat who's a yes man, and that's not at all what humility is really about. Humility is about understanding who you are before God and who others are before God. And I think having a real appropriate sense of humility is having a very real sense that at the foot of the cross it's all level, and that regardless of your accomplishments, your value as a man is no greater or nor less than any other man around you. And what that does is that frees a man up to really engage and love people and appreciate people for who they are, to have a real appropriate and healthy sense of who you are as a man. And it's very important to teach that to your daughter as well. And humility is sparse in our culture. I think we have a lot of girls who are growing up with a sense that they should be better than other people, that they're the center of the world, that you know, their parents owe them something, and many parents foster that attitude in their daughters unwillingly. A lot of Christian parents will do that too, you know, treating their kids like they're the center of the world, and it gives kids a sense that they're really above others, and they're above even their parents at times. And it's a very unhealthy way to live, because when you think about it, if you feel that you're better than others, you can't really appreciate others, and you can't have healthy relationships with them. You put distance between yourself and others, and that's something that God never, ever wants us to do. So humility, as far as I'm concerned, is at the top of the list as a virtue for dads to live out so that they can teach it to their daughters.
Does it fit within that, virtue of humility and developing that in your daughter-father relationship, that a dad would at times do that tough one of admitting that he was wrong? I know some guys, they just have that in their life that they never want to admit in any circumstance that they were at fault. And I know when I do it with people that I'm around, I get the opposite reaction, that people more appreciate it when you say, I messed up there. What was I thinking? I didn't have it all together. And does that factor in, do you think, there, Dr. Meeker?
Oh, very much so. And I think it's important because it really, if you don't want to admit you're wrong and you don't want to admit you're sorry, I mean, you've got a real serious issue with pride. Because the first is, the truth is, we all make mistakes and we all have to apologize. And it's hardest to apologize to the people we're closest to and we love the most, which is our family. And I think it's very powerful when a dad, for instance, loses his temper with his daughter, says something he shouldn't, and he goes right to her and he said, "You know what, honey, I ask you to forgive me because I really messed up. You know, I offended you, I hurt you, and I hurt God, and I ask him for forgiveness and you for forgiveness as well." And I think that if you want to teach your daughter how to ask for forgiveness and how to apologize and to have a healthy sense of who she is as a broken person, showing her that you are that as well is very, very important. And I will tell you, dads out there, there's no more woman, there's no more forgiving woman you will ever meet than your daughter. You know, daughters are so willing to forgive their dads because they're connected to their dads by a need-based love, where it's a child to an adult, always, because your dad is always your dad. Your wife, on the other hand, for a husband, is very different. It's adult-to-adult relationship. So it's harder for wives sometimes to forgive their husbands. But a daughter needs to have a good relationship with her dad, wants to have a good relationship. So she's more willing to forgive her dad than any other woman out there. So it's a really important concept for dads to realize.
Great. Now, something that really caught my attention in these 10 secrets for strong fathers, that girls do want ground rules despite all their protest and,
yes,
and you know, screaming and saying, I don't want them, I hate them. So what's the truth about ground rules between fathers and their daughters?
Well, a couple of reasons, I see this is sort of a new thing in our American culture, is that parents want so much to be close to their kids that they forego rules because they don't want conflict. They feel conflict is going to drive their kids emotionally farther away from them, and that is not true at all. Girls need rules because it makes them feel safe and it makes them feel loved. The girls who end up in trouble, and I can say this from firsthand experience because I helped start a halfway home here many years ago in our area for troubled teens. Girls who don't have strong rules and boundaries, and I don't mean whose dads are authoritarian and oppressive and mean and cruel. I'm talking about healthy boundaries, healthy rules, where the daughters know what the rules are, they know what the consequences are, and they know that if you break them, dad means business, your iPhone's taken away for whatever period of time, whatever. Those are girls who feel loved and cherished. Without those rules, girls feel that, honestly, if their parents don't care enough to implement rules, and these are the girls that I see who end up in the halfway homes, they will tell you, no one cares enough to say no. You know, my parents let me roam until 2, 3 in the morning. I ran away from home, and my parents were like, well, what did you expect? You're just sort of a crazy, wild kid anyway. So, you know, first and foremost, rules, strong rules, make girls feel loved. Secondly, when you think about it, girls who are successful in life and who have a lot of self-confidence are girls who know how to discipline themselves. And the only way they learn discipline, to internalize discipline and to discipline themselves, is first to have discipline imposed on them, because they don't know what rules to make for themselves.
They can't discipline themselves,
yeah,
so they're
exactly,
they need it imposed upon them.
Exactly. And then they learn to internalize it and take that on themselves. And that's really what the child to adult transition is all about, is internalizing self-discipline. So kids who don't know the rules and they don't know the consequences, they never learn how to discipline themselves. And that's why I think we have a lot of young adults in their 20s who are really just flailing all over the place because nobody implemented rules. They don't know how to live life.
Very good. Now, I've been choosing ones out of this list of 10 secrets. So would you like to pick one, or I've got more?
You know, I love them all. You know, one of the ones that I love is, you're the most important man in her life, and I know that that sort of has taken a lot of dads back, and a lot of ways, dads, what are you talking about? You know, I'm a dad, and you know, I divorced her mom, and I live across the country from her, and I haven't seen my daughter in 5 years. How can I be the most important man? And I get a lot of letters from dads like that who are saying, you know, how can I be when I'm not in her life, or even a dad who is with his daughter and has a good relationship, how can I be the most important man? And it really is all about the fact that a dad is his daughter's first exposure to male love. And in those first years of life, a dad is the one who shows his daughter how to be loved by a man, how to learn how to trust a man, how to learn to feel safe with a man, how to learn what male love is really all about. And if a daughter learns that male love is good early on in her life, she really learns to trust her brothers, she learns to trust her teachers, her pastor, God himself, and she ends up having a much better marriage with her husband in years ahead. But the converse is true. If she has a bad relationship with her dad, that influence is still there. She never learns to trust men. She never learns to love men. And so what she learns from her dad in those very early years really sets a template for how she's going to relate to men later in life, for good or for bad. And that's why I say that dad is the most important man in his daughter's life.
Excellent. Now, how about the biggest mistake us dads can make?
I think that the biggest mistake dads make is believing that they're not as important as they are, particularly during the teen years. Typically, dads will go, okay, well, I understand I'm important when she's 5 and when she's 8 and, you know, and she still wants to be with me and she still wants to jump on my lap and hug me. But when it comes to 12 or 13, I think that we as a culture teach dads, you know what, life for teenagers is all about peers. So daughters really don't need you. And we mothers often communicate to our husbands, you know, we understand teen girls. You don't understand teen girls because you've never been a teen girl. I'll handle it from here on out. And we give those cues to our husbands. I've done this with my own husband. We raised three daughters. And I think that's one of the worst things we can do and the biggest lies that dads can believe is that when your daughters turn 12 or 13, they don't need you. They need you more during the teen years than they did when they were 5 because life is much more dangerous as a teen girl than it is as a kindergarten girl or a sixth grade girl. Daughters need dads to move into their lives when dads are feeling they need to move out of their lives. The first moment, you know, your 13-year-old, you try to hug her and she bristles and says, get away from me. You know, unfortunately, dads get their feelings hurt and so they move away and they believe their daughters. But what they need to understand is she's not bristling because of you, she's bristling because of her. So it really doesn't have anything to do with you. So dads, don't get duped into believing that you're not more important during the teen years. That you're less important. You're more important during the teen years than ever. So I know it's uncomfortable, but you need to hang in there with your daughter. You need to make sure you spend enough time. You need to make sure that you don't get your feelings hurt. Don't pull away, but move in closer. It's not a task for wimps, I'll tell you that. It's tough stuff, but the payoff is that if you hang in there with her long enough, you're going to have a great relationship with her for the rest of your life, and more importantly, she's going to navigate the teen years and stay healthy, and she's not going to end up with the wrong crowd if you stay close to her.
Sounds like stay engaged all their life. And do the powerful, strong things that God has given us fathers to do. Just keep doing them.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I will tell you, most dads feel inadequate for the job, but I want to guarantee every dad out there that God wires every dad with everything he needs to be a great dad. Dads just need to know it and put a little bit of energy into that wiring, and God will give you everything you need at the time you need it.
You know, and I got the encouragement from my dad that, you know, Roddy said, it might not look like your daughter's really into it right now, but just keep doing it, and it'll pay off later on. And it sounds like you and my dad kind of had the same conversation about that.
I think we might have. But you know, it's absolutely true, and I think that as a daughter, it's so important. You know, and I wrote this really for my dad, but also on behalf of all the girls out there who need their dads to engage. And also I saw, you know, I think my own husband did a great job with our own daughters, but I really believe that if dads could step behind their daughters' eyes and see who they are from their daughter's perspective for 10 or 15 minutes, their lives would never be the same. They'd never relate to their daughters the same if they really understood how their daughter sees them. And that's really what I try to do with this book, is give dads a peek behind their daughter's eyes regarding who they are to their little girls.
That's so well said, because sometimes, you know, perception can be deceiving. And like you say, then sometimes people around, be it the wives, friends, that give the wrong kind of inputs to these dads, and so they withdraw, they disengage, and all the time, no, there's good stuff going on, just keep engaged, and God will take care of it. Now, we're running out of time, unfortunately, Dr. Meeker, but I wanted you to talk just a little bit about it, because I really like this. Prodigal daughters, and fathers that help to bring them back. Give us a little on that.
I don't know if parents have ever read the book, The Runaway Bunny. A lot of parents read it to their kids when they're little, particularly mothers, and it goes where the girl or boy runs away from home, and the mom says, well, if you run into the sea, I'll become a boat and I'll float on the sea. And she says, well, then I'll leave and I'll go be a plant in a garden. She said, well, if you do that, I'll be a plant right next to you in the garden. The key with prodigal daughters is to constantly, constantly pursue them. If your daughter, I had a dad who had a daughter who was homeless. She actually ran away from home when she was 18. She went and lived on the streets in California, and once a year, dad would find her, and he would go and he would visit her on the street, and he said, when you're ready to come home, I will always be there. And then he'd fly home, and the next year he would find her, and the next year he would find her. And after 8 years, the girl came home. She finally got married, and that dad, now she's in her mid to late 30s, has a wonderful relationship, helps babysit her daughters, but he never gave up. And I think the kids sometimes are so desperate for love that they will do whatever they can to try to shake you off. But the dads who tell their daughters, no matter what you do, you can't shake me off, those are the daughters that eventually come around. Very, very painful for dads. Never, ever, ever let go, and your daughter will come back. It may be when she's 30 or 40, but she'll come back.
Wow, so that's so encouraging and so motivational, Dr. Meeker. And we thank you for that and for writing such a great book. And I just, so people out there thinking that you're biased towards daughters, you wrote a good book, Boys Should Be Boys. And we thank you for all that writing, and we thank you for your service, and we thank you for being on our program, and blessings to you.
Well, thank you, and blessings to you, and happy Father's Day to every dad out there.
Thank you. And so there's so much here on being a strong father, for making your daughter strong. This excellent book by that title, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, 10 Secrets Every Father Should Know, by Dr. Meg Meeker. And then there's the one that I'm really into now and going to give it to a lot of friends. It's the same title, but it's a 30-day challenge. And it's set in the format of a daily devotional. And 30 days of these. And, you know, I've been reading, and now I kind of reread it. There's checklist. There's stuff to do. So it's just fantastic. And then there's also a group effort at this with a DVD and a small group discussion guide. Those of us that are in that kind of thing, we know how neat those can be, a group of people getting together and talking about them. And we always look for good resources. And so this is kind of networking, wiring dads together to talk about their daughters. And so as we approach Father's Day, all you out there are dads and moms and kids, this is a resource for you to pick up. We're going to link right to this on our website, kfuo.org. You'll see this on the archive, and we'll link right to all of these materials by our wonderful guest today, Dr. Meg Meeker. Check it out. You and your daughters will be blessed. I think I have a good relationship with my daughter, and I think that this is going to give me some more encouragement. It's going to give me some more ideas, and it's also going to make me an ambassador for getting dads to always engage, be engaged, and be there positively. So join us tomorrow when we venture out into helping fathers and their faith with their families here on Faith and Family Worldwide KFUO.